Okay, the next item on the agenda is presentation on purpose of regional flood planning in the Lower Brazos Basin Health Associates. Sam, I have truly appreciated your presentations that you've been making, and I'm looking forward to this one. So go right ahead.
All right. Good morning. Can you see my screen?
Yes. Yes, we can, Sam. Thank you.
Well, very good. I want to show you, give you an update on, well, the reason we're here is to talk about the pre-planning meeting and to give information to the public as to what the purpose of this is and where we are going with it. So we did talk about briefly that there will be a comment period at the end of this presentation. And please limit those comments to 3 minutes each. And you can also provide written comments to Pamela. There's her email address there. And also you can get more information in regards to the study at the website listed there below on the screen. Let me walk through the purpose of this meeting today as we go through the pre-planning meeting. And let me get started right now. So the purpose of this pre-planning meeting is to provide information on the formation of the regional flood planning group and also the planning process. And the result that we want from this meeting is to gather suggestions and recommendations as to issues and provisions and projects, et cetera, strategies that should be considered in the development of the regional flood plan. And so the topics that we're going to go over today include presenting the Lower Brazos team, and you have seen the team here in various presentations, as well as the regional flood planning group. We'll go into the regional flood planning efforts and what those are. We'll talk about our study goals. We'll go over the deliverables that will result from this plan. I'll go briefly over the schedule. And then I want to end with the data collection efforts that we will be initiating next week to start getting information from stakeholders and the public. And we'll have a period, as I mentioned at the beginning, for questions or comments. So talk about the lower Brazos team. We have the voting members, which are those folks of the regional flood planning group. These are folks who represent different interest categories. They were nominated and selected by the board, and you have met these folks throughout the different meetings that we have had. They represent different interest categories, from agricultural interests to flood districts to small business to water utilities. And this information is available on the website that Brandon mentioned and I had at the beginning of this presentation. These are the voting members of the regional flood planning group. There are also non-voting members for the regional flood planning group, and these folks represent different agencies who have an interest in this plan. And this includes the Texas Division of Emergency Management, the General Land Office, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and Subsidence District. Now, the consultant team that was selected to do this work is half associates, and my name is Sam Hinojosa, and I'm the project manager for this effort, representing half associates and our team. With us, we have Friesen Nichols, H2O Partners, Torres and Associates, and Susan Roth, and we will all be working together with the regional flood planning group to put together the plan. There are several members of our team who are here today with us. I know that I saw Hector Almost, the Friesen Nichols, on the list of attendees. And so there are also others as well, and the several members of the HAF team are also here. HAF Associates has been involved in flood control for over 70 years, and so have many of our team members, including Friesen Nichols, and HAF has over 1,000 employees, and we've pioneered watershed-based planning studies since the 1960s. And I can just say that we are excited to be involved in this process. We believe this is very important for not only the region, but for the state of Texas. And so we're just excited to be here with you as we go through this process. And just quickly talk about the roles of the regional flood planning group versus the roles that the consultant team has. So the regional flood planning group is really to support public and stakeholder engagement, help identify key stakeholders, prepare for and participate in meetings and workshops, review the deliverables that we will be giving to the group, approve the submittal of chapters and technical memo and the draft plan, and then adopt and submit the regional flood plan. As far as the consultant team, the things that we are going to be doing is ensuring that we are in compliance with the board's requirements and schedule. We will guide and facilitate the planning process. We will also facilitate public and stakeholder engagement, gather data and information. There is a lot of information that needs to be collected as part of this plan that will be put into the overall regional flood plan. So there's a lot of effort put into that, and that will be one of our big roles. Conduct the planning and technical analysis, as well as preparing the chapters, the memorandum, the draft report, and the final report based on not only input from the regional flood planning group, but also from the public. So let's talk a little bit about the regional flood planning effort. So this started in 2019 when the legislature passed Senate Bill 8, and this bill provided a process for statewide flood planning. And the Texas Water Development Board was charged with implementing Senate Bill 8. And so the process involved breaking up the state of Texas, or really identifying 15 regions in the state of Texas based on watershed that would be to set those up for regional flood planning. And you can see there right in the middle of the screen on the map, there is the Lower Brazos, which you are here in for this meeting. There's also the Upper Brazos. You know, it's not that the Brazos is one big large watershed, but we are looking at the Lower Brazos because of the differences between the Upper and the Lower Brazos, and the way that the terrain and different issues that provide a good break point right there. So each regional flood planning group that I showed you in those 15 regions will develop regional flood plans. And really, this is a bottom-up approach to flood planning, just collecting a lot of information, seeing how things overlap, how they tie together, where are there gaps in the region, and setting this first plan in place. It's a very ambitious initiative by the state to move this down, but it's a much needed process. And so this initial plan will be laid out, and then the plans will be updated every 5 years. And we really, projects need to be included in this plan. So it is very important for the members or the folks in this region to participate in this plan so that the projects that they've identified or laid out can be considered for future funding assistance from the board. So the flood planning timeline, really the group started meeting late last year, and then selections or really contract execution with the sponsors were made. There was a RFQ out for consultants. Consultants were selected early this year. And as you heard, we are under contract now with the Brazos River Authority to do this effort. And really, we are starting now and moving this forward, because that deadline of January 7th is not going to move. And this is when the first technical memorandum is due to the Texas Water Development Board. So there's a lot of information to gather, put together to establish the first part of this effort. And so the public participation, the stakeholder participation is greatly appreciated. And I'll talk a little bit more about what that's going to look like. In August of next year, we will have a draft flood plan due to the board. And then in January of 2023 is the first regional flood plan is due to overall to the Texas Water Development Board, the final, and then it goes to the legislature in 2024. So the key tasks for this effort include gathering and analyzing data, identifying existing and future flood risks, evaluating flood management practices, then recommending evaluation strategies and projects to reduce flood risk, and all that is used to develop the regional flood plan. The cost for this initial plan is $1.4 million. So what are our study goals? Well, to do into that, I want to talk about some of the expectations and clarify some of these things here that I've listed. Now, the plan will not solve the flooding issues, but it will set things in place to help reduce future flooding. Practices, recommendations to help reduce future flooding, projects to help reduce future flooding. And then it will also help mitigate existing flooding in the future. So these management practices, these types of recommendations, the hope is to help develop, where possible, some consistency and approaches to to methodology, et cetera. I said, where possible, so that we can mitigate future flooding. There's a lot of data, as I've mentioned before, and I'll probably mention again and again, a lot of data that needs to be collected from the different stakeholders in the region. And there's data that some of it's available online, some of it's not available, but we need to collect as much of that information as possible. I will say that at least with this initial plan, there's no new floodplain modeling expected. This is really a lot of data collection, gap analysis, effort, but there may be recommendations that come out of this for future floodplain mapping and modeling to address some issues where there are gaps in data, or there may not be appropriate or sufficient flood risk information available. As I said before, and I'll say again, region participation is super important and is much needed for a successful plan. And we do have a limited budget and schedule to cover this whole area and collect all the information that we can to have a successful plan. But your participation, as I said, is much appreciated. What are the likely outcomes of this study? Well, really, you know, we're looking at, as I mentioned before, in different things in this region, from flood management practices to projects to gap analysis, where there might be not enough flood risk information, et cetera. So there may be that some problems that have been identified will require further study, and this will be a recommendation that comes out of this plan. And there will also be several projects that are identified from the different stakeholders in this region. And so some of these projects may need to be updated or certain parts of them may need to be addressed with more information to be able to meet criteria. And so those will be some recommendations that may come out of this plan. We'll talk a little bit about the specifics of the region. The extents of the Lower Brazos are quite extensive. Covers over 23,000 square miles, population estimates around 3 million. The number of counties that the watershed or this portion of the watershed covers is about 43, where at least there are several that are within the boundaries of the watershed, but then the watershed does not understand jurisdictional boundaries, right? Water does not stop at county boundaries. And so there are portions of counties also, even some small portions of counties within this watershed. And the number of communities that are within this watershed are close to 200. There's quite a few folks. When we talk about the Lower Brazos region, we're not just talking about the Brazos River, but we're also talking about the different streams that are also on the Brazos, which are major streams, include the North Bosque River, the Leon, San Gabriel, and Passes, Little River, the Navasota, Yegua, Oyster, and many others that are, you can see in this map, the different streams that all contribute to the Brazos River. Not only are there a lot of rivers, but there are also several flood control reservoirs, and these reservoirs operate with the intent of flood control or managing flooding downstream in the more narrow portions of the watershed. When you get downstream of Waco and College Station and Hempstead. And so this helps reduce some of the flood risk that can be associated downstream. But there are also water supply reservoirs that are operated by the Brazos River Authority. And these reservoirs, their intent is water supply. So these hold water and so that, you know, we can all have water to drink, right? And water to use for different things. And so those are very important reservoirs in the Brazos region. A little information about flooding and rainfall in this region. It's interesting that in Region 8, the annual rainfall varies by 30 plus inches from the upstream end near Possum Kingdom Lake down to Lake Jackson. So it's a very diverse region here in Texas. And flooding varies across the region, you know, up in the northern parts, or maybe up, you know, near Round Rock also as well. where you have more of a flash flood warning type, a flash flooding, when it rains, the water quickly rises and moves quickly downstream and causes flooding. Where downstream in the lower parts of the basin, the water, you can see it coming for days in some instances. You know, you can see the Brazos starting to rise and got several days to respond to that. And then it sits there for a while as it makes its way down to the Gulf. So it's just different in how a flooding occurs in this region. There are also a lot of levee systems in the Brazos region. Right now, our estimates are around 50 plus levees in place. And there are quite a few that provide protection to infrastructure down near the neck or the bottom portion of the basin, and down in Sugar Land and Missouri City, Rosenberg area, a lot of levee systems that protect billions of dollars of infrastructure. So our scope of work is really divided into three phases as we see it. The first phase is looking at risk assessment and mitigation management. And there are different tasks that were identified by the Texas Water Development Board. The first task is to describe the area. What are the issues in the area? What are the flood risks in the area? And what are social vulnerability, et cetera, describing the region. And then looking at what specifically are the risks, not only under existing conditions, but potentially looking at future conditions and future risk based on rainfall or looking at management practices, et cetera. What would the future look like, flood risk in the region? Then looking at what are the flood management practices and what are the flood management goals that need to be set for this region? Looking at whether these goals would be comprehensive, would we adopt goals for the entire region? They have to be based on sub-watershed type approaches. So that's something that we'll need to be talking through and we'll be looking at as we go through this process. Then looking at needs analysis and identifying what are called FMEs, FMSs, and FMPs. Really, these are evaluation strategies or projects that have been considered in the watershed or in the basin, and looking at those, identifying them, and assessing those to see what will be brought into the plan and what needs to be done to bring them up to speed, or identifying areas that need to be studied further where there is known flood risk and it needs to be addressed, and there has not really been a study that has been done. And so this would help identify what those are and make recommendations. All of this would be packaged into a memorandum, which would be provided to the board, Texas Water Development Board, in January. The second part of this, which really overlaps with the first part, is the development of the flood plan. And once those projects, those FMEs, FMSs, FMPs have been identified, really diving in a little bit deeper into those and under this task five so that we can make recommendations as to which one should be adopted or pulled into the plan. And then looking at the impacts of those on the region and how those might impact or tie in with water supply, looking at specifically at flood response information activities, how flood response is conducted in the region upstream and downstream, and how can we have comprehensive understanding of those impacts of how things are done. And then making recommendations to the legislature based on how things are done from a regulatory perspective and administratively. And then also making recommendations to the region as to what practices can be adopted, best management practices adopted to help reduce flood risk. And then when those projects and all of those things have identified those strategies, et cetera, looking at how can those be paid for and make recommendations as to how to finance those projects, those strategies, and those recommendations. And what I'm calling phase three is plan adoption, but really task 10, as it's labeled here, public participation is important and will be throughout this entire process. But once we get to the development of the plan, there'll be that plan adoption, which will be wrapping up this first plan and making the recommendations to the board and ultimately to the legislature. So what are the deliverables that will be brought from this plan? Well, really, it's going to be a lot of maps looking at these gaps, identifying critical infrastructure and the impacts of flood risk on infrastructure, Where are there areas that need further analysis? Where are there projects that will be recommended that are almost shovel ready, or where are areas that projects need to be brought up to speed so that they are shovel ready? Looking at pulling all this information together into a geographic information system, GIS database, so that we can be easily viewed either online or however it is chosen to be shown to the public, as well as to those stakeholders, so they understand what the process is and what are the projects and recommendations in the region. Preparing technical memorandums. These are going to be submittals of these chapters, as we call them, for each of these tasks, which will ultimately be brought together into a regional flood plan recommendation for Region 8. Talk through our schedule. The schedule here is a draft schedule, except for the January 7th deadline, the August 1st deadline, and the January 10th deadline. Those do not change, but we have laid out a preliminary schedule here for the different tasks. These may move around a little bit as depending on the data we're collecting and the information we're able to gather, but we have to submit these documents to the board on these dates as shown. And as I mentioned, you see on the bottom that task 10, the public participation is really going to happen throughout this entire process. And there will be opportunities for the public to provide feedback on the documents and maps and recommendations that will be made throughout this process. So I mentioned that we are going to be putting out a data collection effort, and just quickly want to give you a preview of what that is going to look like. The purpose of this data collection is to collect information and data from stakeholders and the public throughout this region that we can use to develop this plan. And then there will be an opportunity to share this information that we've collected for public review, as well as review by the stakeholders and the regional flood planning group. And to do this, we are going to deploy a web-based survey to collect community information from agencies and authorities, those that have the really flood control, flood management authority. And they hear a lot from the public as to where flooding occurs and what type of projects need to be put in place. And this is the information we want to collect from them, since they've wrapped a lot of this information together. So this web-based survey will be deployed next week for us to start collecting information. We will utilize this method that we're going to push out there to collect this information concerning flood risk and studies, projects, and they can be dropped off at this site. And then there'll be an opportunity also using this tool for the public to provide information as to flooding and information they would like to share, photographs, etc., things that they would like to share that be adopted into this plan or considered as part of this plan. So that will be our data collection effort. I have more information on that will be presented later on in this meeting, an update to the regional flood planning group, so you stick around for that. That is my presentation. Chair, I'll turn it back over to you for questions or comments.
Excellent. Thank you, Sam. Do we have any questions or comments from the planning group members? Yes.
Yes. Question. How is the survey to be deployed?
Thank you, David. So I will give an update on that here in our consultant update, but the way it's going to be deployed is the site will be placed on a link to the site we placed on the Lower Brazos website, as well as an email blast to those stakeholders that have been identified. And so we have that being sent out early next week. We'll send out an email that says that this is coming. There will be a follow-up email with that and a call with some of the folks, including county judges, to make sure that they understand what the process is and what the expectations are. And then there'll be another blast that then says the website is live for the stakeholders to start providing information. But I'll cover that some more here shortly in our consultant update.
Excellent. Thank you. Any other questions or comments from planning group members?